From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And in a few minutes, we will go inside a Bitcoin mine, which is not a mine at all. It is a data center where complicated algorithms are used to unlock the virtual currency.
Maybe you'll explain Bitcoins to me. But before that, today, members of Congress are reviewing the Obama administration's main intelligence report on the Boston Marathon bombings. And two newspapers have two very different angles on the report. The New York Times saying that before the bombing, Russia did not share key information with the FBI about bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev. He was the older of the two brothers who were suspected in the bombing. He was eventually killed in a shootout with police days later. Meanwhile, the Boston Globe is reporting that the FBI could have better connected the dots it had been given about Tamerlan by Russia. For instance, when Russia warned that Tamerlan Tsarnaev would change his name, he later did, and no red flags went up. David Boeri reports for the Here and Now contributing station WBUR. He joins us here in the studio. And David, very tender topic here in the Boston area as we approach the one-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. So what do you make of this reporting today?
So the question has always been, Robin, what did the FBI know? How much did they know? How responsive were they to it? So these two different stories. One, the New York Times has a story that, in fact, the Russians had intercepted a phone call between Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the Marathon Day bomber, and his mother talking about jihad, and that that was not provided to the FBI by Russian security services. So that would seem to be particularly telling here.
Especially since, as we know, that there had been communication between the Russians and officials in the U.S. about Tamerlan Tsarnaev, about his travel to Russia. So there was an awareness between the countries of this young man.
And this New York Times story seems to undo, on the face of it, the damage done to the FBI after early reports that the Russians had, in fact, contacted the FBI and warned them about Tsarnaev early on. Mm-hmm. And in addition, what we also find out is the FBI was blamed by the Boston Police Commissioner for not telling the Boston police what they had found out from the Russians. So today's New York Times story seems to undo some of that damage.
It exonerates the FBI a bit.
So now you have the Boston Globe report based on statements of a local congressman, William Keating, that indicates that the Russians had told the FBI in 2011 that they could expect that Tamerlan Tsarnaev would be trying to change his name. In fact, in 2012, he files with the Immigration Service, and he has a name change. What's telling is we have Tsarnaev wants to change his name to a first name associated with an insurgent who had been killed in the insurgency from Dagestan against Russia, and also a historic figure who was known as a great Islamic warrior. Well, consider who Tamerlan was. Tamerlan was the great Mongol conqueror known as the Sword of Islam.
So he already had a name that was pretty powerful.
It does indicate he is hardening. He's looking for an even more powerful name somehow. So Keating, the congressman from Massachusetts, reveals that, in fact, the Russians had told the FBI this and nothing happened.
Not only, if I'm reading the Boston Globe report correct, in the form that he was filling out with the name change, there was also a portion where he was asked to pledge his allegiance to the United States, and he doesn't.
Now, to be fair, Robin, we are walking Tamerlan Tsarnaev backwards. Imagine yourself at the top of a pyramid, and we are now walking him down the pyramid. And every time we come to another juncture, mm-hmm. At the base of this pyramid are thousands of potential Tamerlan Tsarnaevs. So it's done with hindsight, and it's clear his path when you're walking him backwards.
You're saying that hindsight is 20/20, as we know, which is what these reports are. But on the other hand, what about the claim that the FBI is also making that they called the Russians several times and didn't hear back?
If I'm a detective and I go to your house because I suspect you're a bank robber and I leave my business card for you to call me, if you don't call, what do? I follow up. Now, people have said here bluntly, the FBI didn't carry the ball. There were all sorts of things they might have done once tipped by the Russians. They could have pulled his phone calls. They could have put a pen register on his phone. They could have done surveillance.
We should have listened.
Did they do any of that? In fact, had they had a pen register, were they monitoring his phone calls, they may have intercepted that phone call between Tamerlan Tsarnaev and his mother, which the Russians are said to have intercepted without passing on to the FBI, according to the New York Times column.
There's something else you want our listeners to know about. We have the younger surviving brother, Jahar Tsarnaev, who is set to be tried. His lawyer has said he is going to make a specific defense, and that is also in the back of people's minds right now. What's that defense going to be?
You can't get away from this, because they are making a mitigating case why he should not face the death penalty if convicted. The defense has announced they are going to present the jury with information that the FBI tried to make his older brother, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, an FBI informant.
What does the FBI say to that? Have they responded to that?
The FBI says it didn't do it, but there is great, great suspicion. We have a long history within the FBI of trying to seek informants, an unhappy history in Massachusetts involving James Whitey Bulger. In this case, in the case of Islamic terrorists or jihadis, feared jihadis, we have a well-known pattern of undercover agents trying to go into mosques and turning people around. There's great distrust of the FBI and what they say about informants.
So all of these reports come out in the shadow of that. David Boeri, a reporter for Here and Now, contributing station WBUR. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.